Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den with us. It was an eventful first portion of the show for me. Joe and Pip seem to enjoy it a little too much, but they're not nice people.
No, we are not.
That's why they're here. All right. This is an interesting story. Oops, that's not what I want. Shh, Fragile Sky, enough of you. You had your time. Two parents are being charged with manslaughter after allegedly allowing their daughter to become morbidly obese. I like morbidly. This makes everything worse. Like obese isn't bad. Morbidly.
Morbidly. It's like
morbidly. I mean,
like they're a menace to society.
Well, no, it just sounds like so fat you will die.
It sounds like it's like if kind of cutting off the house, the front of the house type of fat.
Yes.
In what is believed to be the first case of its kind, the parents of Kayla Titford. Oh, that's a nice name.
That's unfortunate.
Yes. Kayla Titford, 16, appeared in court on Tuesday after being charged with gross negligence manslaughter. Again, gross. And causing or allowing the death of a child or a vulnerable person. The disabled teenage girl was found dead in her home in Newtown, Powys, Wales, on October 2020. It is alleged that between March 24th and October 11th, 2020, Kaylee's father, Alun Titford, 44, and mother, Sarah Lloyd Jones, 39, of Cullowin, Newton, failed to ensure that her dietary needs were met, leading to morbid obesity. Nor did they ensure that she got enough exercise, which was in a hygienic condition, had a safe and hygienic environment, that her physical health was maintained, or that reasonable medical help was sought, the charge claims. The pair appeared before Welshpool Magistrates Court on Tuesday and stood together in the dock wearing face masks. They spoke only to confirm their names, ages, and address, but did not enter any pleas. Helen Tench, prosecuting, asked both defendants to remain on conditional bail and not to have contact with anyone under the age of 18. What, are they going to shove a ham down their gullet?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Sit there and seduce them with ice cream?
You know what you've done. No more desserts for you.
No, have some Girl Scout cookies.
Eat it! Oh, oh, oh!
Are you afraid of child porn? Child porn? No, chicken parm.
So he made child parm. I love my child with a little mozzarella marinara sauce.
Child parm. Oh, God.
That's what Joe's making over there, a little child parm. You know what type of van he had growing up. They will appear before Mold Crown Court, another unfortunate name, on April 14th. The case is believed to be the first time parents have been charged with such an offense. In 2014, two parents were arrested on suspicion of cruelty and neglect of their obese child. A 49-year-old man and 44-year-old woman from Kings Lynn, Norfolk, were questioned by officers over the child's care and released on bail. At the time of the separate case, Norfolk police said intervention at this level was very rare and only occurred where other attempts to protect the child had been unsuccessful. According to reports, the 11-year-old boy in the case was 5'1" tall and 15 stone. With a body mass, a BMI of 41.8. Well, he's made of stone. When dealing with sensitive issues such as obesity and neglect of children, officers from the Force's Child Abuse Investigation Unit work closely with partners significantly with both healthcare and social services to ensure any response to address them are proportionate and necessary, Norfolk Police said in 2014. However, the case against the parents in Norfolk was dropped and they were not prosecuted. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I happen to have a teenage daughter who's not morbidly obese,
no,
but her eating habits are god-awful. Like she doesn't like fruits and vegetables.
Right.
You can't get her to go down to a meal with you. You know, she'd rather have cereal than, you know. I mean, it's hard to get a kid to eat. I mean, like you are responsible for them.
Yeah.
For provide. You do have to provide the right sustenance.
Right. I'm kind of wondering what is going on? I mean, for the history of the world, there's always been, you know, fit kids and fat kids.
No.
Yes. But
no, because fat kids got eaten by lions.
Well, I mean, you know,
for the history of the world, there was mostly fit kids.
Mostly.
Funny. I mean, Rich, but you want to know something?
Well, let her finish. Let her finish.
I mean, you know, back when, you know, rich people were the only ones that could afford to be fat because, you know, peasants were running around, you know, scraping
together. I don't consider myself rich. I consider myself well off, dear.
There you go. But I think that there's definitely a difference between, you know, a kid who is, you know, heavy and doesn't exercise and is, you know, fighting the parents on it, or just incredibly lazy. That could be true. But also you see on a lot of these adult, you know, obesity shows, you see somebody that is definitely helping them along by bringing them these tremendous meals to their bed.
But it's not a minor.
No, I know. And it's like, this is a touchy thing. Like, you'd think that somebody would realize, wow, my kid is so unfit. I've got to do something drastic to help them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, Joe, say what you want to say, then I'll say what
No, I was along with the lines what Pip was saying. Basically what it is, and, you know, like my 500-pound life, where they go to that doctor, and the doctor tells them, you need to do this and do that, you need to, and they don't do it, and the people around them are enablers. Now, in the case of the child, they're saying that the dietary needs were not met. And the thing about that is that was there a schedule of a diet that they were presented? Was it a court mandated thing?
Does not appear so.
What
I noticed with fat.
I'm sorry. Lisa just said the fat kids ate the fit kids. They were considered a delicacy.
It's possible too. But if you've ever noticed what happens with a lot of times with fat kids, they have fat parents. So like nobody's eating properly in the house. Either they can't afford to, they don't want to, or they don't know how to. So we don't really have food education. I mean, this is in the United Kingdom, but it's very touchy. You're a little overweight. You can't say that. Now it's called body shaming.
Yeah. Well, you know, Honey Boo Boo didn't get that way out of nowhere. I mean, they were eating Skittles with ketchup on them. Because
they were eating what now?
Skittles.
What are those?
Skittles. You have Skittles. They're long and stringy, and you put them in a bowl, and you put ketchup on them. Skittles.
I don't know what that is. It sounds repulsive.
Paschetti.
Spaghetti?
Paschetti. You know what I'm talking about.
Joe, do me a favor. I don't have trash service here. Could you please take the white trash out from my house?
No, there's a bear out there.
Bear ain't gonna eat this. It's got standards.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there are people who it's, you know, indicative of the whole family dynamic. But there's also there's a thing where parents allow their kids to eat only what they want to eat. And I mean, I was never like a super picky eater, but I can't imagine turning my nose up at the food that my father prepared for us to eat and be, eat that.
Gee, you don't have to imagine. Hang out with us around dinner time at this house. You don't have to imagine. It comes to life.
And there's so many kids like that. And it's like, I understand. It's like, you don't want to battle it every day. But if you have kids...
I got a dryer and a cable coming to battle. I don't want to have to battle my kid, too.
But what if... I mean, but she's fit and she has, you know, you say admittedly poor eating habits. What if your kid was pushing 15 stone, which I looked up just now, is 210 pounds for 5 foot, which...
That's a
big kid.
That's Zoftic.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, we would intervene, but again, what do you do if the kid refuses?
Right.
I mean, it's not a cat. You know, you can't put the pill in the little pate and stick it down the throat because you know the kid will kick you in the nuts.
Can't you give the kid a Kong with peanut butter in it?
A what now?
Kong.
Oh, that's right. We've talked about those.
Yeah, it's a dog toy.
Yes.
Well, like I said with this story here, it is alleged that the parents failed to ensure that her dietary needs were met. Was it court mandated? Did he review it? Also, that her physical health was maintained or her hygienic condition. Who set the guideline on that? Who sets the guideline?
Well, Joe, she had a stinky pussy.
They didn't follow it, and now they're in violation of the law.
Joe, she had a stinky pussy. So, I mean, you know, it was not hygienic over there. Look, well, all Pip's having a flashback. That snapped her right out of it. She was stuck.
That was like a slap in the face.
Pip was stuck on stupid, but we rebooted her. That's how you reboot your little Pip.
It's like, Pip, Pip, stinky pussy. Oh, what's going on?
It was all just a dream.
Terrible, terrible dream. Oh, my God.
No, but I mean, listen, it's not hard to imagine that. You know, unfortunately, heavy people, it gets harder to wash when you get morbidly obese.
Sure.
You got more nooks and crannies to get into.
And, you know, there's mobility issues.
Well, on my 500-pound life, there was one woman, he dragged her outside the house. He hit her with a hose like the fucking bathing pool.
And they were doing it on the front porch. I'm like, man, you couldn't erect some little privacy corner on the front porch with the neighbors to see? Like, wouldn't you stop traffic with an event like that?
Everybody likes a spectacle, kids.
They fucking closed traffic. Are you kidding me? I want to see that shit.
You guys just reminded me of something that I was going to talk about, but then so much shit happened, but I forgot about. So, obviously, I'm putting things away, going through stuff. I happened to find a cassette of my set from Brooklyn Law School, the one where I got kicked off stage.
No.
An audio cassette of it. No. So I gave it a little listen. If I can figure out how to record it, I might play it here with it. First of all, I was awful. But whatever. I was like,
you must play this.
So, but the here's why I got jogged of it. One of the jokes I had, which I think tells you how much...
Hold on, I think I have to gird myself. I'm wrapping my little sweater around me for comfort.
Well, you might want to. I don't know. I was not woke. But there was no woke. We were all coma.
We're all animals.
One of the jokes I had was like, you ever go on the beach and you see these really fat women and they got all these rolls and then they stretch and they look like a red and white zebra because the sun can't get in, and I'm delivering it much better than I did on this fucking audio.
I remember that joke.
Why didn't you stop me?
I don't know.
Apparently this, the law school did too.
This, and it's like, yeah, these old women, you know, you tap them on their shoulder and there's tits flying every place. they leave two sets of tracks in the sand, one for their feet, one for their tits. I'm like listening to this, like, God, I was awful. Although the two sets of tracks, I still contend. Funny line. but like, to pay, like, I couldn't fathom, like, doing that joke now. About obese people. I don't know if society's changed or I've changed.
Both.
Yeah, it's like...
I think both.
Because at the time, that was perfectly acceptable. Obviously, I'd gotten laughs with that joke at some point because I brought it to the Brooklyn Law School talent show. So, you know. But...
Yeah. Well, you know what? But everybody's changed what they would say now. Like, in the wake of... I'm sorry to beat this dead horse, but in wake of the Will Smith, Chris Rock debacle...
Oh, you're just going to keep this going to fucking Father's Day, aren't you?
Yes. No, you know, they've gone back, and what they do, they meaning the media, you know, scandal hunters, you know, they go back in time and look for a time when somebody said something that now... is considered completely inappropriate and is outside of what the realm of what that person would say or joke about now. You know, and it's like, it's not always fair to go back into somebody's like deep, darkest days and in the guise of a joke said something that now you would never say.
All I can tell you is in October of 1997, that made the set. Now, not at gunpoint. Yeah, the only way I would do something like that now was if I talked about myself.
Right.
I would never.
Right. Well, that's what you have to do, because there's that joke. I still do it. That way I go, when I'm at the airport, the woman comes out and says, my bags are overweight. And the joke was, so are you. They're putting you on the plane. That worked. But I had to change it to me because people were going, oh, you know, because when we start, they go, whoa, you got to get woke. So I just switched that around.
Can I steal both of those for myself?
With what you were working with, it would be an improvement.
Listen, I know what I was doing. I knew what I did.
Pips owed to shit.
Well, that was one night.
But it's the only time
I
remember.
Shopping.
It's the only one I remember. And the girl. But anyway, yeah, so that was just the thing. I'll play, if I can figure out how to record some of these audio cassettes, we'll have a laugh at my expense. Maybe Pip will find some of her old stuff. Maybe Joe will have some of his old stuff. We could laugh at our expense and say how god awful we were. You know.
Have never played any of my stuff for.
But I saw it was the Brooklyn Law School. What the hell was so wrong that a cross dresser yanked me off stage?
Yeah, I guess you had to go back and revisit that to actually remember.
But then the funny thing is, I've told the story before, but my wife is giving them, she's my girlfriend at the time, giving them the fucking riot act for ripping me. And people are coming up to me, man, they shouldn't have done that. You were great. You were funny. And now, you know, felt great at the time, and they really thought I was.
It's a thing that still continues.
No, but now it's like, I listen to it go, Brooklyn Law School, I don't belong in a trade school with this set. But at the time, I guess the stuff worked.
Listen, you know what? At least, you're naturally funny, so a lot has to do with delivery.
My delivery was not very good.
Oh,
No. No, the way I just delivered it now on the show,
yeah.
I guarantee you is better. I didn't have my confidence. I didn't have my personality.
No, well,
I didn't have my voice.
When I first met you, you were like, you would not keep your eyes out towards the audience. You were looking down a lot. You know,
they're like ugly and hideous.
And so you had to preserve yourself. My eyes, they're bleeding.
But you dress up for a show?
But you know, there was, you know, self-protective stance and behavior. And
now I need to see where the attackers are coming from. So I look all around.
You're on guard all the whole time.
Usually it's from the rear where Joe's doing something from behind stage. But
but the other thing is that I've seen truly, truly terrible. When I was in college, there was this one guy that just was stinking up the joint. He wasn't telling jokes. He was just complaining about his girlfriend. And he was being so nasty.
Oh, so segment one.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just...
I'll never forget the... What,
Hold on. Let her finish. Let her finish, Joe.
I thought she was done.
No,
just one more thing. He was complaining about his girlfriend and saying terrible things. And apparently I was not the only one with a puss on my face, because he's like, oh, all the women in the front row are looking at me like they want to kill me. And I looked over and I was like, oh, my God, we all do.
Like, this was an unusual reaction. What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, it's like when we did the Tuesday night train wreck, that one night where the guys on and Pip, this is where you go. And it's like, it's the lottery number. And Davin drew number 37. I drew 42. So it was a long night. Now, the biggest problem is that, you know, everybody's comics, but also as comics, I mean, Davin and I were goofing on everybody, you know. So there was one guy that goes up there and he goes, I'm a magician. I eat food and I turn it into shit. So with that, he goes to his next joke, and there's something on the stool that he looks at, and he looks at it and he goes like this, goes, and he throws it behind his back. And I tell Davin, I go, I'll pay $1,000 for that piece of paper. I want to see what he looked at after that first joke and said no to.
I know. What didn't make the cut?
I'll figure out how I can do it. I've recorded cassettes before. I'll figure out how to like put it into an MP3 and we'll do that one day. It's fun. It was god awful. But anyway, yeah, so I used to make fun of people, not kids like this, but right. People like this. I think it's really tough to make them lie. Like, you need more. I think Joe's right. Was the court involved? Did anybody intervene? Were they willful? I mean, manslaughter's not willful. Well, so this is a neglect case.
Right, but it's like, did the kid eat themselves to death?
That would appear
literally?
What happened, yes.
But, I mean, I don't remember in this article them saying anything that was, like, helpful in the way of like, explaining, well, what actually happened? Like, did, you know, organ failure? Did they have diabetes and it was unchecked? Or, you know, I'm just wondering what...
Died drowned in their own gravy.
Oh, God. You know, listen, you know, there are adults that make their own choices and, you know, they drink themselves to death, smoke themselves to death, eat themselves to death. You know, there's lots of things that people as adults do, but it's really quite sad that there are adults that can't help kids that are in that situation because they can't help themselves, you know?
I'm just saying, man.
Well,
I'm
enablers, like I said, who sets the standard? I mean, obviously, but who sets the standard for the judge to make a decision on?
Like I said, I get it all. I don't. My gut tells me they shouldn't be guilty of this, but I just because I know how hard it can be dealing with a teenager. Yeah. Now, this kid was disabled, so there might have been an advantage. My kid has all her senses about her.
Oh, she can get away.
She can get away. She's mentally smart. She's physically fit. Although she's not very motivated to move.
Will a bear do it?
Possibly.
Let's test this theory later.
So we all agree it's pretty tough to find them guilty, even though it's so sad.
Yeah.
And we all agree 1997 Davin would have loved this story.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you would have torn him up.
But it is kind of funny that we'll move on to, like, listen to yourself and just cringe at what you chose to do.
Yes. Oh, God. I remember one particular set where I realized that, you know, when I was trying to be a little bit more highbrow, that this place was not paying any attention. So I went as dirty as possible, and they were like, yeah! And I was like, I don't want to do this for a living.
And yet here you are. Guys, all right, let's move on.
Yeah, here we are.
What, was he going again?
Yeah.
What, does he have a urinary tract infection?
You know what? I'm not going to judge. I have been antibiotics woman for a while.
We just took a break.
I don't know what happened to him.
All right. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Who knows? There's a war going on. Mission Control has been very busy.
You think he's down in Ukraine right now solving problems?
I think that's where he's beaming in from.
Yeah, that'll make things better. All right. A Florida judge has rejected Gloria Williams' request to cut her time in prison for kidnapping a baby from a Florida hospital, even though the girl, now 23, has advocated on her behalf. Williams accepted a plea deal in 2008 for taking Kamaya Mobley from her mother at UF Health Jacksonville maternity ward in 1998. She asked the judge in December to allow her to serve half of her sentence on probation because of good behavior and personal development. Mobley told the judge she wholeheartedly supports Williams and she needs her mother home. Williams said she takes responsibility for her actions and has become a better person during the 4 years she spent in prison so far. Really, it took 4 years. It took the prison time for you to snap to and go, maybe I shouldn't steal kids.
You know what? Did it really work out for me the way I thought?
4 years. In prison.
Yeah, well, you know what? No kid stealing as a mantra takes a long time to set in.
There are many things I've learned since coming to the Department of Corrections, but don't drop the soap. But the overall lesson of my incarceration has been one of accountability, she wrote. Because they're holding you accountable.
Yeah, that's why.
What happens when the law's not on your ass?
You keep a kid that's not yours.
She wrote a letter to Duval County Circuit Judge Mariana Aho. I know and understand now that there is a ripple effect, that the consequences of my actions are never mine to suffer alone. Now?
Yeah.
Now you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. While Aho ruled that... While Aho ruled that Williams filed the motion too late, stupid. She maintained... How do you file too late? You're in jail. You got nothing to do but think about this shit.
I know.
You don't got to worry about bears and cable companies and dryers. You got nothing to do but worry about your appeal.
And not getting buggered in the janitor closet in jail.
Well, that doesn't take a lot of time.
No.
She maintained that even if it was on time, she did not find a basis to undo the original sentencing judge's decision. William posed as a nurse and took Mobley away from her mother 5 hours after she was born. As for her state of mind at the time of the kidnapping, Williams previously told the court that she had just suffered a devastating miscarriage and was exhibiting symptoms conducive to postpartum depression, as well as experiencing extreme mental and emotional disturbance at the time she took the child. She was not in her right state of mind. Said, fuck it, let's do it to somebody else. It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah, no, it is a real thing. It happens.
She renamed the girl. The girl had a name 5 hours in? Okay.
Yeah.
She renamed the girl Alexis Manigo and moved to South Carolina, where she raised Mobley until she was found in 2017. Mobley, who was 18 at the time, reportedly learned about her abduction a year and a half before Williams' arrest, but did not go to authorities and tried to delay it. The now 23-year-old woman has stayed in contact with her kidnapper and still considers Williams her mom. Mobley told Aho she had a well-rounded life with Williams, a life of crime. I would like to make very clear that she is my mother, Mobley wrote in the letter to the judge. She raised me and not only provided for my needs, but she loved me unconditionally. I understand none of this modifies the truth of the past, nor does it justify my mom's actions anyway. However, at the end of the day, I love my mother and I wholeheartedly support her. I ask the court's grace and mercy as I need my mother at home. Williams told the judge she has completed character development and faith programs and wants to become a certified peer facilitator. No, no. She
well, appears in jail, sure.
Okay. She asked the hoe, as have I, to allow her to serve 9 years in prison and another 9 on probation. In the meantime, Williams said she kept her distance from Mobley out of respect for her biological family. Kamaya, Mobley's attachment to her abductor, has caused a strain in her relationship with her biological mother, Shanara Mobley, who once asked Kamaya to choose between the two women. I get it, but no. I get it.
I get it, too, but it's no.
Recent social media posts show the pair has worked on repairing their relationship. What I see happening is Kamaya is bringing her biological family to South Carolina to introduce them and to spend time with my mother, her nana, her sisters, nieces, and nephews, Williams wrote in her motion. Everyone is coming together to give Kamaya the best of both worlds and bring her life into fulfillment. Listen, it's I'm glad she raised the abducted baby well. I'm glad she was good to this little girl.
Yeah.
I don't think you get your sentence reduced for that.
Hell no. Hell no. You stole somebody's kid. No. Imagine the heartbreak if, you know, shortly after your daughter was born, somebody stole her. And you didn't get to see her until she was already all grown up.
Well, then I would be avoiding these here. So, you know, when you say it that way. They could try to get her eat vegetables.
She broke the law. Come on, I say she broke the law. You know, she broke the law. She abducted. She created. Even though, you know, that's nice that the upbringing was nice, it was due to something. You know, this person kidnapping was a kidnapping that this person grew into. It was undeniable emotional stress on the mother, the biological mother. She has to pay. She has to pay the crime. I mean, if she's going to be in jail 9 years, well, you can go visit her. You know, at the end of the day.
No, I think she's going to be in jail 18 years.
You broke the law. You abducted this person. You broke the law. You have to pay the price.
Yeah. You know, it's a damn shame for the girl that she's now, you know, I mean, the woman was good to her and she raised her in a motherly way. So it's not exactly Stockholm syndrome. It's that, you know, she had a relationship with this woman as if she was adopted. The circumstances are quite different, though. And, you know, I feel really bad for the girl because she, what a terrible position to be in. The person who raised you and that you love dearly, you find out they did something terrible to get you.
I feel worse for the biological mother.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Yeah, well, she had more emotional stress because in the case of the girl, that's all she knew.
Yeah.
She was abducted, you know, five or several hours after she was born.
So now she's going to have two families that love her.
Which. Oh. Is great, but it's still full of turmoil because obviously she's got this conflict. The biological mother is so hurt and she's just, you know, choose between us. And she's like, you can't ask me to do that. It's
so we all agree the sentencing stays.
Yeah. And what precedence does it set if, you know, they said, well, you know, we'll let you go with parole. No, it's like stealing somebody's car for about 6-7 years. You bring it back and it's full of gas and it's waxed. That's nice. You stole my fucking car.
Well, the car loses value. I mean, Kamaya doesn't lose value.
Well, I don't know. She's looking a little rough around the edge.
At 23? At 23. Jeez.
You know how those kids stars don't age well.
Yeah, this is as good as Kamaya's going to look. She's prime showing time now.
You know, it's almost.
By the way, I just want to set that. By the way, the reason I had to step away a couple of minutes is my dryer is going. And I had to make sure it was going because if that's not the sound, because there's a sound, and sometimes that sound is my flame sensor switch not working, which relates into thousands of dollars. So I needed to take a peek if the dryer was running, or I got to spend several thousand dollars.
Joe, no, no. I have a dryer here that you could have for $200.
Thank you. No, it's not the dryer.
it sounds like a great trade. You need something. He's got something.
Always trying to help Joe.
Yep.
Well, the flame sensor is on the heating unit, not on the dryer.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, but it sounds like your dryer could go at any moment. You need a backup dryer. Take the backup dryer.
I go by the heater. Yeah,
so. Or you can use it as a kitchen island.
It does make a nice island.
It's a great. I could cut vegetables very comfortably on that kitchen.
And you could cook a roast.
Yes.
70 minutes on high.
This is awfully dry.
It was stuffed with socks. It's a family recipe since we moved.
Yeah, that not eaten over that Fuck. Night.
I'm gonna wind up having to go to the junkyard and pay to get rid of that dryer. You watch.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I fucking live in a madhouse. It's hard being the sensible one. All right. This was my blog for the week. Country superstar Eric Church may be seeing a regional fluctuation in his popularity this week.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know I was going to do that. For the listeners that can't see, I have this big-ass sweet tea from McDonald's, and I made a terrible straw.
That should ease the diabetes right in after we just did the fucking story about the morbidly obese kid. You're chowing down on sweet tea.
Yeah, I know. I was just wanted some.
By the way, Joe, she wouldn't go down the stairs a second time, so we might be getting cutting off the front of the house stage with Pip.
My back is killing me.
Well, I tell my mom, lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Losing
weight always helps, whatever it is.
It always helps.
It helps the joints, everything.
Yeah. No, I know.
I've lost 10 pounds. Nobody can tell, but I lost them. I just call it stress not eating.
Yeah, right? I don't
And running
that.
From bears.
I don't have that stress.
I just don't have time to eat anymore. There's too much. Who has time to eat when I have to talk to cable 24/7?
Yeah, really? You don't have time to snack.
No, I don't. But my heart's still into it. Maybe seeing a regional fluctuation in his popularity this week. His status in North Carolina probably on the rise with the news that he'd do anything to cheer on his beloved Tar Heels in the NCAA basketball tournament game this Saturday. It just happened this past Saturday. Church's stock in Texas could be taking at least a momentary dip, though, after he announced Tuesday that he was canceling a sold-out show at AT&T Center in San Antonio scheduled for the same date to attend the game. Church, generally regarded as one of the straight shooters of country, was nothing if not transparent in stating a reason for canceling the April 2nd concert. In a statement to ticket holders entitled, Fuck You, sent out by Ticketmaster.
Fuck you.
Accompanied by an automatic refund notice, he admitted that calling off the gig 4 days before showtime was the most selfish thing he's done in regard to his relationship with his fan base.
Thanks for noticing.
My bad. Church's message to fans read, "This Saturday, my family and I are going to stand together and cheer on the Tar Heels as the team has made it to the Final Four. What are your plans?" Oh, right. Anyway, as a lifelong Carolina basketball fan, I've watched Carolina and Duke battle over the years. But to have them match up in the Final Four for the first time in history of the NCAA tournament, sports enthusiast's dreams. And my dreams are more important than yours. He continued, "This is also the most selfish thing I've ever asked the choir to do." No. You don't get to call me the choir as you're fucking me. You don't get to do that. You get to call me the choir when we're standing there cheering for you to do whatever type of music you play, country music, then we're the choir. But when you fuck me, we're not the choir.
Yeah.
We're excommunicated. This is the most selfish thing I've ever asked the choir to do, to give up your Saturday night plans with us so that I can have this moment with my family and sports community. Ugh. However, do you guys tell where I came out on this? However, it's that same type of passion felt by the people who fill the seats at our concerts that make us want to be part of a crowd at a game of this significance. So again, my passion, more important than yours. Woody Durham also said, "Go where you go and do what you do. Thanks for letting me go here and be with the Tar Heels." You didn't ask.
Yeah, really? You didn't ask.
We didn't discuss. Artists aren't required to publicly declare why they nix concerts, and many quietly cancel shows or entire tours due to low sales, or bow out for mercury reasons, as with the most infamous indefinite postponement of 2022, Adele's Las Vegas run. It's arguably more sincere than, "My show ain't ready 24 hours before the doors open," snarked one concert biz observer. I guess she just canceled and...
Yeah, but like with short notice, apparently.
But there is, but Aerosmith is back in Vegas.
I know.
I've had thoughts.
Yeah, we've had our time, but...
I don't know.
You're thinking about going again?
Not with money. I mean, if I sell the other house, maybe.
Okay.
I got to sell the other house before I give myself this luxury.
Yeah.
But there isn't much precedent for a major artist doing a no-show to attend a sporting event, even if his fellow UNC fans might think calling this a sporting event is akin to calling the Second Coming a religious service. Okay. A rep for church said the reaction of the cancellation on the artist's church choir Facebook fan page, which is locked to outsiders, is overwhelmingly positive. When you're in a cult. As opposed to the wider Twitter sphere, where church looked to mostly be taking a hammering for his decision as of Tuesday night. Some country fans said it was impossible to judge Church if you aren't also from North Carolina. The response to Eric Church canceling his show in Texas to go to the Final Four game is fair, tweeted Casey Young, a writer for the Whiskey Riff website who hails from North Carolina. Well, I mean, you're getting quotes from the Whiskey Riff. I'd be upset if I'd made plans to be there, but I don't think you can really understand the significance of the game unless you're from North Carolina State or are completely a diehard for any given team. I'm torn because I truly see both sides, and if I had a chance to be at that game, I'd have my ass there no matter what. But I feel that for all the thousands of people who were canceled on after booking flights, finding childcare, or just being able to go to the show. Kobe Du Bois, a Houston defense lawyer, didn't have much sympathy for Church for not foreseeing the possibility of the matchup, however historic. If you're obsessed with basketball, don't schedule a concert during the Final Four. Some wondered why Church abruptly canceled the show outright instead of merely postponing it to a date outside of basketball season or after his current run of dates end in August. The artist's spokesperson said the singer could not commit to reschedule at this time and did not want to leave ticket holders holding the bag. Well, that's true. If it's postponed, you don't get your money back right away.
Right.
So he's all about the ticket holders. Wrote Kyle Trigger. I said Trigger. Cornius, editor of the Saving Country Music website. The situation takes a significant step in the perilous direction where privileged entertainers can cancel events on a whim to serve their own purposes as opposed to making hardworking fans who paid good money to see their favorite artist perform their priority. Massive stars like Eric Church are given opportunities to average music fans can only dream of. Missing things like basketball games is minor penance they have to pay to fulfill their performing commitments. In 2020, Eric Church was named the Country Music Awards Entertainer of the Year, in large part due to the type of precedent he has set as a live performer. Hopefully he's not setting an example. His peers will follow this move. Even on Twitter, though. All right. You guys get the joke. I mean, people just... All right. So, first of all, I asked the Twitter, you know, if you had tickets to this, would you pay to go see him again? 70 to 30 said no.
Really?
I also posted a blog, told people to comment. I had one guy say... that he and his wife, when Eric Church is on tour, would go see him three or four times a year. That was the one luxury they allotted themselves. No kids or anything. They would just go treat themselves three or four times a year to catch him on tour.
Yeah.
And he said, never again. He said the last paragraph in my blog really hit home.
Wow.
Here's the thing. You can't... We kind of wonder, do our performers really love us? I mean, Taylor Swift has shown time and time again she's really good to her fans. Yeah. Say what you want about Taylor Swift and her writing about her ex-boyfriends. Time and time again, Taylor Swift always goes the extra mile.
Yes.
For her fans.
Yes.
You pull something like this, I know you think I'm a piece of shit. I mean, no, because there's no excuse. Because people, they've given up their night. They might have babysitters. They spend on the tickets. They might be flying in from out of town like we did for Vegas.
Right.
Can you imagine if Steven Tyler, there's a Red Sox game I really need to watch. Do you? Do you, Steve? No. I just had to run across the terminal to get to this fucking flight. I had to drag Pip's carcass along with me. We are not canceled.
You have no idea.
You have no idea. Like, it's just so wrong. Listen, man, as entertainers, I've missed Devil Stanley Cup Finals games because I was working, Yankee playoff games, and Yankees World Series games, NBA Nets NBA Finals games, no Jets World Series game, no Super Bowl games, but playoff games. And because you know what? I got to show up for the gig. You know, now these people are not necessarily there to see me per se, like they are for Eric Church.
Yeah.
But the job says you show up. People are spending their money, their time to see you.
Yeah.
You sacrifice it. You know, you DVR it. Yeah. You watch the ESPN highlights. You listen to it. You delay. You do something. You can't cancel the show. Now, he did schedule another show.
Yeah.
But not in the same town. And it's free, but how is it for ticket holders? But if you already had the tickets, I guess you got your refund. But is it really free? Because you're out all that time and effort and hotel and all that stuff. This just sets a horrible, horrible precedent.
I don't know that it's necessarily something that somebody would do on a whim, because it was something that came up that was like a really...
This was 4 days before. This is whim territory. 4 days before the sold-out concert.
I forgot about the 4 days.
4 days. This isn't 4 months out. Go, hey, you know, 4 months, all right, we get it. You get a refund. It sucks.
Right.
Four days.
But, yeah.
You're committed. You got to be there.
Yeah. 4 days.
You book for the gig. You got to do the gig.
Yeah, you got to do
the gig. And like you said, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we've all missed because we have a show. This is what we chose to do. You had a show. Think about the stagehands that are losing money, the people around the arena, the concession people, the merch people, because he wants to watch a basketball game. Bring a fucking TV and have it backstage and have a roadie yell out what the fucking score is. A fucking gig is a gig is a gig.
You know what? You can actually have a TV on the stage, a small TV on the stage. I saw when I went to the Police reunion tour, I saw Sting staring down. Now, he wasn't looking at a basketball game. He was looking at lyrics because he couldn't remember this shit. But, you know, he was looking down the whole time. If you really have to do it, watch it. Now, I've performed where they had, like, the Yankees World Series game on while I was performing, which is never ideal. But I remember when I was on the West Coast of Canada. Probably happened a couple times. But I was on the West Coast of Canada, and I'm doing my set, but I would look up at the TV. If you're going to have it on, I'm going to watch. But I did the show. The people don't know. They still got their night of entertainment, and I got to watch the Yankees. That had to be 09. I think it was Yankees-Phillies.
I got to do a set underneath the TV with a sporting event.
And
on.
NBA Knicks basketball.
And people are going, yeah, in the middle. Yeah.
Not for you. Not for you. Not for you.
Not for me.
Not for you.
That was really harsh. You really cut yourself down a lot. Yeah, that was people cutting me down. That was harsh.
if Aerosmith did something like this, that's it. I'll still listen to the music. I'm not buying a ticket again. Now, am I spiting myself because I really like going to the shows? Yeah, but how can I trust them again?
Yeah, that's hard.
I mean, there used to be the conversation, you're going to go to a Guns N' Roses concert because are they going to show up? Are they going to go on 3 hours late? What's it going to be? They didn't cancel because of a basketball game. And those guys were all on drugs and everything. This guy's perfectly sober and he's doing this shit. Yeah. I want to – listen, man, you got to give up family time. I'm sorry, man. You have an obligation. Does your word mean nothing on this contract? There can't be anywhere in the contract that goes, well, unless North Carolina plays Duke in the Final Four. I don't think that's in the rider.
No, I don't think so either. Or is it?
Would you go if Wynwood pulled something like that?
Well, I mean, it's different. This year he pulled out of his dates. He was opening for Steely Dan, and he pulled out of them. But it was because of health. But
that's completely different. That's completely different.
Yeah, totally different. He's played hurt. He doesn't miss shows. I mean, except for a pandemic.
If Eric Church said, my wife is due to give birth that day, and listen, and we've all missed important things. Many people have missed births. Even then, you go, okay, whatever.
Well, I was driving right to Giants Stadium in New Jersey, and it was a big concert. I don't remember which one of the festivals in the 80s it was, but I was driving there, and I was a huge Who fan, particularly Rabbit at the time. And Pete Townsend was supposed to play, and his dad died.
Okay.
And so he got on a plane and he left. And I heard that he left before I even got to the stadium. And he was the main reason for me going. And I was like, oh, man, do I even go? And I mean, I went and I was bummed, but I was like, the guy's father died. I'm going to be, oh, he left. I mean, that's horrible. So, you know, there are reasons why if somebody bails on a show, I'm not going to say anything. I'm pissed if they bail because they're on drugs or they're too drunk to make the stage. That pisses me off.
This pisses me off more.
Really?
This pisses me off more.
No, that pisses me off.
No, more. No, because that's an addiction. That's an illness. That if somebody's a drug addict and they need help, that pisses you off more than I'm not coming because of a basketball game?
It wasn't just a basketball game. It was like a really big deal. Like, you know, the Red Sox finally made it into the
It doesn't matter.
World Series.
It doesn't matter. You made a commitment. So
I don't say it's good.
So you would still go. You would support them in the future.
I might.
Oh, not me. Goodbye. You have shown me that I am nothing but shit to you. You've shown me that your time is more valuable. Your enjoyment is more valuable than my enjoyment. You've shown me, and I put this in the blog, you know, we hear about Hollywood elites. Well, maybe we're looking now at Nashville elites, because this is some elitist bullshit right here.
Especially when you come off pandemic, you know, and you were canceling shows due to the pandemic.
It's a good point.
Maybe down south, with North Carolina, maybe they'll accept it there. But I think if I'm laying out money, you make plans, you do this, you cancel that, and then because of the basketball game, get TVs, put them on the side of the stage, and have a fucking roadie yell out the score. It's showtime.
So let's see, you're a big Def Leppard fan. If Def Leppard pulled out for, you know, there was a big footy match that Joe Elliott just had to watch, and he canceled the show. 4 days out. Are you going to spend any more money on Def Leppard tickets?
No, fuck it. Fuck those guys. Absolutely. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Really? You got a thing because you want to watch a sporting event? You know, and as somebody that's not in the entertainment business, I'd be pissed off because we had to get a sitter. We had to do this. As somebody in the entertainment business, if there's a fucking show and you're not deathly ill with 102 feet, and maybe even when you are, you know, that's the only time where canceling a gig is acceptable. Death in the family is another one. I mean, you know, but because there's a sporting event on, that's inexcusable. Inexcusable.
Yeah. I mean, I am seeing your point. And I have been pissed when, for one reason or another, something got canceled. It's like, I'm still out all of the Ticketmaster fuck you fees, by the way.
Oh, that's true.
You know? I mean, it's really annoying to drive to Yankee Stadium and there's a rain delay.
Oh, and after you paid for the garage, the parking.
You paid for the garage. You paid for the gas. You bought some food. You're sitting there in the rain waiting, and then they go, oh, you know what? We're not going to have a game. Yeah, I'm out all this fucking money. Where am I recouping that?
But again, that's not as bad as this.
No.
The Yankees didn't make it rain.
No, and they aren't in charge of the weather. I mean, when they built the new stadium, they could have put a roof on it, but I'm not bitter about that at all.
I've never canceled performance because I wanted to do something recreational for myself.
Right.
Oh, never. No, never, never, never. That's just tough shit.
I can't.
This is the business you want to be in. This is it's part of being in this business, and that's the fucking breaks, you know?
I can't imagine doing that, you know, saying I'm not going to do a show like, you know, that people have paid to come to see or whatever because, you know, oh, there's a good movie on TV. You know, you don't do that.
You know, I don't think he could.
Example. I had we had the memorial service for my aunt on Saturday, and it was really nice. And then we went to we had dinner at the restaurant afterwards, and it was nice to catch up and stuff like that. And I got offered a gig, which I turned down because, you know, the gig takes precedence. And I didn't want to be sitting at the restaurant looking at a watch every 5 minutes. So I turned the gig down. I mean, it wasn't booked. I mean, I had the offer. But still, if you take the gig, you've made the commitment. So if I did take that gig, I'd have to sit and look at the watch every Tuesday and excuse myself early. You know, I didn't want to do that, you know. But yeah. But still, that's the commitment you make when you take a gig.
Yeah.
I think if he had lied about it, he would have been found out, and that would even be worse.
Much worse.
I don't think you can lie about
it. Oh, if he was like, and then they saw him sitting in the stadium? Oh, you're a dead man.
I don't even know if he went to the game.
Else. How about you do the fucking show? You know? I mean,
I think this is going to set I think others are going to do this now. Now that the first one did it, I think we're going to see more of this.
Oh, and obviously there'll be an uprising because people, 70%, don't want to put up with that.
Right, and this particular person who told me goes to 3 or 4 shows, you know, because that's what it is. I mean, that's what I've talked about with Atlantis and Joe DiMaggio, like I say, you know, for my kid with Atlantis, you know, this is where we go on the summer. It's like, no, people save up a lot of time and money to come here. You're just lucky. Or with Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio always said, I'm going to give my best because this might be the only time anybody ever sees me and they paid to see me. I mean, listen, man, there's an obligation, you know.
Yeah,
if you're,
and I'm not Eric Church or Joe DiMaggio, but but there's an obligation. I mean, people are donating the time. If you're Eric Church, you don't have that lifestyle without the choir. So you better be a lot more respectful of the choir.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, my performances have been very low level kinds of things, but it's like you always bring it. That's what you're there to do. That's the point.
And another thing that's interesting is did the venue fine him for canceling? You know, I mean, they canceled 4 days. You think the venue's going to go, oh, okay. They've got to fine you, or there's got to be fees that are non-refundable that the performer has to pay to the venue.
Well, I'm guessing Joe, I'm guessing since he said fuck you, he has fuck you money. So, it's just a bad
thing. They can only do that once, because basically, let me tell you something. For what you pay to go to, like you go to a concert and you have to pay. If it's Madison Square Garden from the island, I'll take the train. It's not a problem. But still, the train is $23 to get in. Also, if you know, the fees that you spend to park, people lay out a lot of money nowadays to go see a show. And people are starting to get, you know, less nervous with COVID being in a crowd. You really got to pick choose your battles here. I mean, you know, are people going to come back and see you again? You're pulling this stuff? I don't think so. He might have pulled this off. You know, maybe with his fans, he could do that. But with other performers doing that, it's going to be pushback on that.
All right. Well, Kanye just pulled out of Coachella 2 weeks out.
Yeah, but he's mentally ill and he needs to go, like,
who pulled out of Coachella?
Better.
Kanye, 2 weeks out.
Oh, well, he's out of his goddamn mind.
All right, let's. In the room, the Rosie, bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Shame, shame, shame. School of Fool. A twisted South Carolina teacher's aide. Why does it have to be twisted? Teacher's aide has been arrested for having sex with his great dean. It's his dog. And posting 6-foot footage online. It's a big dog, according to reporting authorities. Kevin Christopher Billups, 34, of Columbia. I played that town many times. Was busted Tuesday just hours after deputies received a link to a video allegedly showing him engaged in sex acts with Leia, his pet pooch, the Lexington Sheriff's Department said. Investigators immediately got a search warrant for Billups' home and found evidence linking his home with that video. Yeah, there's fucking dog treats all over the place.
Of course, I guess it was rough sex.
God.
It's like Joe went through last week's show and go, oh, here's one I didn't use.
I go into the bit warehouse pulling out of stuff.
Sheriff Jay Kuhn, that's not my name, said in a statement, we also found an external hard drive containing hundreds of images and videos of child pornography. The sick footage of Billups' dog was uploaded to a pornographic website. Billups, who has worked as a kindergarten teaching assistant at Lonnie B. Nelson Elementary School since 2012, was arrested at the school, but no students saw him being taken away into custody. Principal Twanisha Garno told parents in an email, as you can imagine, we are very disturbed by the charges and are cooperating fully with law enforcement. Garno wrote, adding that Billups had been put on paid administrative leave as per school policy, according to the newspaper. Parents of students in Billups' class, as well as an after-school program where he also works, were notified via phone call of his arrest. That's a rough call. The alleged sex acts with Billups' dog occurred at his home. Well, it's not an away dog. Investigators also found more than 900 images and videos of child porn on the external hard drive. The dog's a homebody, which was not school property. According to a police report obtained by the newspaper, Billups has been charged with 8 counts of each of buggery. A felony, always funny.
Buggery.
Buggery.
No, which is stupid. It's doggery. A felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. And third degree exploitation of a minor, which carries a maximum 10-year sentence. He remained jailed on $240,000 bond bail, as Friday records show. The dog, meanwhile, is in the care of Animal Rescue Organization, Kuhn said. This is still an active investigation. Our work on this case continues as part of the South Carolina Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. A Lexington County Sheriff's Department spokesman told the police Friday that accusations of bestiality are covered by the felony buggery charge in South Carolina. So, yeah, lots of people fuck their dogs. Just saying. Just,
I caught you fucking a dog, boy. That's buggery in this town.
Just saying. Joe got a bullshit half a point on Florida Man last week. Just saying.
This creep does not make lots of people.
Well, we got two in 2 weeks.
I mean, they are out there.
We didn't have any. We never had a suitcase.
And they're in
chase
there.
Before. I give the guy credit though. A Great Dane. That's a large dog.
That's a lot. But yeah. You know what? It was the golden bikini that Leia was wearing that he couldn't control himself anymore.
Oh, a little Star Wars reference. I don't know. I don't really have much to add to this story, but you guys can take it away if you'd like.
He probably had to use a wide-angle lens to get on. I mean, I think he's going to get off on insanity. You know, for the simple reason, it's like, well, not only did you...
What the hell's wrong with you?
Post it online.
What the hell's wrong with you? Don't you listen? He got off on Leia. Who's this insanity? I don't know if it's insanity. I mean, you know, some people just like buggery.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's insanity. I think it's just a perversion, you know?
I mean, is Leia a pure breed? I mean, what's her temperament?
You know what? I do not condone in any way that kind of abuse of an animal, but...
I was waiting for the butt.
I'm almost thankful that he didn't get his hands on a kid, you know?
Almost thankful, but not quite thankful?
No, I mean... Compared to, like, not getting his hands on anybody?
Well, here's why. I mean, kids can't keep their fucking mouth shut. Who's a dog going to tell? Nobody fucking believes a Great Dane.
Right, they're known to lie.
Yeah. I mean,
notorious liars, those.
No, I mean, listen, if you're worried about the Great Dane's going to talk, you put a little fucking peanut butter on a spoon, they ain't going to say shit. So, really. Yeah. Can't do that with a kid.
No, they'll probably die of anaphylaxis.
What?
They're all allergic to peanut butter now, right? No,
kids?
Yeah.
Or all Great Danes? Not all of them.
All of them.
Just the week.
Just the week.
The week.
I'm saying Kong toy. Hours of fun.
We know, Pip. You're an enthusiast of Kong. We're well aware.
I don't even have a dog.
I like the way he said no students saw him arrested because you don't want the kids to turn around and go, hey, they're taking the dog fucker away.
Well, Joe, I mean, a little bit more respect. Mr. Dog fucker. I mean, these are kids.
Mr. Dog fucker. Yeah, yes. He is a teacher.
Yeah, but you know what? It was terrible, the project he had them working on.
You know what game the Great Dane does not like to play? Joe's favorite. Whose Tail Is That? Does not like that game at all.
No.
Whose?
Whose tail is that? That's not a tail. Oh, my God.
It's mine. It's my tail. Stop it. It's not yours. It's not the community tail.
Get off of that. It doesn't have a flavor. Get off. He did.
It's not a cum receptacle, it's a tail.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm tapped out.
Are you? Unlike Leia, who just had to take it.
Oh, it was just Leia.
All I'm saying is, we have other people in the South besides Joe's story who like a good dog fucking. All right, we'll move on. If I would have brought this story up months ago, I really would have had a good argument. But I didn't. Because there was more pressing issues.
Timing was everything.
There was more pressing issues. But I'm like, all right, fine. We're going to get this out of here now. I'm not going to space out the dog fucking stories. We'll go back-to-back weeks on them.
Back-to-back?
Back-to-back. All right. Here we go. Finally, something important. Ben Shapiro grew up loving Disney movies. Aww. He told his podcast listeners last week the conservative firebrand passed that love on to his kids by taking them to Disneyland as soon as they were old enough. 6 months of age in the Shapiro household. Really? They're not enjoying Disney at 6. What are you doing?
I know. You don't even know where you are.
All they know is they're hot.
And there's something with a giant head that's trying to hug me. Get the fuck off of me.
If they could even... Yeah, really. I mean, they're not having ice cream. They're still having tit milk. What are you doing? This is about you, Ben.
This is about you.
You want to go to Disney and the kids... You finally have an excuse because now you're not as creepy.
He was making a big X's on the calendar for 6 months for every one of these kids. Finally!
6 months? We're going to Disney!
We're going!
But then Disney got political, he claimed. What, the Nazi cartoons weren't political from the 40s? Yeah. I have Donald Duck saying Heil Hitler. That's not political.
Terrifying.
I probably should find that. He claimed, gay characters appeared in their movies, and those characters sometimes kissed each other when they weren't committing buggery. Shapiro said the company he once loved was being held hostage by the woke with a cock and a flower. Stand back or this thing will go off. Both of them. Shapiro previewed the potential for the counter-programming when he told his listeners last week that his conservative media company, The Daily Wire, would begin producing children's entertainment. Now, let me stop here. Remember we talked about the actress who got fired by Disney and was going to star in a movie for Ben Shapiro? Remember that story?
No, I'm trying to remember.
She was in The Mandalorian, and she had some like crazy things that she said on Twitter, and Disney let her go, and Ben Shapiro snapped her up, and she was looking forward to making a movie for Ben Shapiro. She's back with Disney. I don't think she'll be working for Ben and his podcast network.
Yeah, because it's a small check after all.
Yes.
It's a what?
Small check. Very funny. But he offered no specifics about how or when this might happen. Those details came Wednesday at an employee town hall. Daily Wire co-CEO Jeremy Boring. That's actually the name.
Brilliant. Boring.
It's really the name. I'm not making it up. B-O-R-E-I-N-G.
That's funny.
You would know if you read the story. Said the company.
I must have skipped over that.
We'll spend at least $100 million over the next 3 years to offer children's entertainment. DW Kids will provide live action and animated shows to subscribers through the company's streaming service starting next year. The project had been in the works for months with plans to announce the venture during the midterm elections in November. That's when kids are really focused on what's coming up, the midterm elections.
Yeah.
Enough of who's taking the house. What kids program do you have?
Yeah, who's taking the house?
Who's taking the house?
It's a spinoff of Fuller House.
It's when we kick out the minority kids. Who's taking the house?
Oh my god! Yeah.
What? It could be right wing program. I could say, but boring. That's you really. If you're going to be programming, you can't be named Boring. You have to be Mr. Excitement.
Terrible.
But Boring added the recent, quote, woke actions of the Walt Disney Company, including its opposition to a new Florida law that will restrict the teaching of LGBTQ topics in public school, led executives to push up that announcement. Strike while the iron's hot, but we have nothing to show. We're going to make an announcement, but then people will forget about it because everybody has the attention span of gnats. Americans are tired of giving their money to woke corporations who hate them, Boring said. No, people still like going to Disney. They're tired of giving their money to woke media companies who want to indoctrinate their children with radical race and gender theory. Nay, nay. I am tired of giving my money to media companies that don't know what the fuck a clown means. That's what I'm tired of giving my money to.
Agreed.
I don't care what your politics are. If the cloud comes to my house, amen.
Be cloud-based and not say you have the technology. What am I fucking paying for? That's what I would have said.
The privilege to talk to India whenever you'd like.
Yeah, that's true.
Disney did not respond to a request for comment. The mouse was busy, from the Washington Post on Wednesday night. Boring, cited Florida's parental rights and education bill, which Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law on Monday. The legislation will prohibit teaching about sexual orientation or gender identity students in kindergarten through third grade at Monday's signing ceremony. These guys love signing ceremonies. Nothing like a good signing ceremony.
I know. That sounds incredibly boring.
I signed my name on a check last week to the guy who painted the new house. True story. He had to come back. The bank wouldn't take it because they couldn't read my writing.
Believe me, with everything going on at your house, there's a lot of signing ceremonies.
Yeah, really. And you know what's ridiculous is those gigantic styrofoam checks you prefer.
Hard to fit in IKEA. DeSantis said parents send their children to school to get an education, not an indoctrination, the Associated Press said. Unless, of course, they're going to, you know, Catholic school or Hebrew school, then they sign up for both.
Then they're happy about the indoctrination.
They get both, the indoctrination and the education. As the legislation made its way through the state legislators, Disney initially remained silent, because you're a mouse. In March 7th memo to Disney employee, CEO Bob Chapek said the company's diverse stories are more powerful than any tweet or lobbying effort, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Amid mounting pressure from Disney employees in the days that followed, Chadwick backtracked and said, I might have made a mistake. He apologized for not being a stronger ally in the fight for equal rights because we're going to have a skip-off, and then nobody will man the rides. And Disney announced they would pause all political donations in Florida, which is home to Walt Disney World, the company's largest theme park. How about you just fucking don't donate no matter who? How about you don't do that? How about you stay out of politics, Disney?
Yeah, I would like that.
Responding to Chapik's apology, the governor criticized the company's, quote, woke ideology. Everybody's fucking awoke. Decency is now woke. Ugh. Shapiro made much the same criticism on his podcast. He denounced Chapik as an abject coward and offered a preview of what Boring would announce about a week later, but then fell asleep after he read the name. We're going to start making kids content over here at the Daily Wire specifically so you don't have to be catered to by companies who hate your guts and cater to the people who despise your values. No, we don't hate your guts. We hate their guts. So we're going to hate the right guts so you can watch us. Yeah, as long as the kids are exposed to hate. That's really what's important. Right, folks?
As long as they're exposed to the right hate. Hating the right people. Kids.
What does that stand for?
DW Kids?
DW Kids.
Daily Wire? No.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Daily Wire Kids.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty basic, and I failed on that. Thank you, Joe. Daily Wire. Well, that sounds fun. Oh, the Daily Wire. It sounds like you're torturing kids. It sounds like you might find some of their films on this Last Story's hard drive.
Daily Piano Wire Kids. Yeah, that serious. Was dreadful.
DW Kids is the company's newest push into the entertainment industry. Boring! Told employees that executives also plans to spend an equal amount of money to keep producing entertainment offerings. Forays include releasing multiple feature films, including one starring Carrie Elwes and a sports podcast. Do we know who that is?
Carrie Elwes?
Yeah, do we know? Who's that? Joe, do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a roaring success. I mean, listen, Kirk Cameron can't do it all. Kevin Sorbo can only play Hercules, Christian Hercules, so many times.
Wait, hold on. Let me show you how Hercules would carry that cross.
But isn't that many gods? Isn't Hercules a god? Shut up! Pay no attention to the roles I played in the past.
Were you worshiping somebody besides the... Shut up!
I was getting paid! Doesn't count! The Daily Wire has challenged other companies it deems, quote, too woke by directly competing with them in the marketplace. Earlier this month, it launched Jeremy's Razors to get revenge on a former advertiser, the shaving company Harry's, which stopped advertising with the Daily Wire after one of its hosts made inexcusable comments about LGBTQ people. You guys heard all about the razor hubbub. It was on the lips of all the kids.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, because the pre-shaving tribe, they're worried about it.
You heard about them razor wars. Boring knows how to hold a grudge. One of the websites that he doesn't know how to change a name, though. No. Boring knows how to hold a grudge. One of the websites that links to the new razor company's main page, ihateharrys.com. Okay. Disney and Harry's may just be the start for the Daily Wire. At Wednesday's town hall, Boring told employees the company's vision for the future centers on offering conservatives products and services from a company that shares their values. How about shit that doesn't break? That's all I want. That's my value. Value for what I'm spending my money on that doesn't break. That's my value.
That's what I would like. Thank you.
I don't need your values with anything else. We'll be over here waiting. Will ya? Just will ya? By yourself. We'll be challenging them in commerce, will ya? Because I still think Bic is kicking everybody's ass in the Razor Wars.
That's actually true.
We'll be challenging them in news and commentary on the interwebs. We'll be challenging them in entertainment. We'll be challenging them in kids' content. Yeah, Americans have just been waiting for these alternatives, and we're going to give that to them. All right. So much to impact. First of all, he said the part that was political that really started this, because I understand what woke politics was, but gay characters. I don't think gay is a political position. I think there's gay Republicans. I mean, you got a transsexual on Fox News. Caitlyn Jenner's going to Fox News, and you can't get more woke than transsexual. So
not really. Well, I mean, she's not particularly woke.
No, but I'm saying, but we're talking about the whole thing.
Right,
being.
Right.
Because we're not talking about individuals here. We're talking gay characters are woke.
But let's not go off into the tangent of transsexual specifically.
I was talking about the gay characters.
We're talking about gay. There are a tremendous amount of people that think that that's a choice.
Yeah, but they're wrong.
I know that.
And being gay, but right, I understand why you might say, oh, this woke programming, yeah, you're finding a niche, I get that. Just pick a better example.
Well, so the thing is that they, you know, if they believe that, well, none, a lot, you know, I don't want to generalize in saying who these people are, but there are people who believe, number one, that it's a sin, so they can't get over that. Number two, they...
Yeah, but those are usually the ones in the closet doing some buggery.
Yeah, I realize that. But there's also, you know, they believe that it's a quote-unquote lifestyle, like you chose it, like scouting. Wait, what? The thing is that you don't choose. You know, your preferences choose you.
I will give them this. Maybe you don't want gay characters kissing. But how about this? I was thinking about this. How about no characters kissing? Because, I mean, if this is too much for children, and Disney's based all upon, you know, passed out woman that was hanging out with Cosby, now needs a handsome man to kiss her awake. I mean,
hold on, Sleeping Beauty.
I know, it's all about rape culture. Yeah. I mean, so listen, if we are going to be so woke, then don't tell me we're not going to have gay characters kissing. Yeah. Say we're not going to have any characters kissing because kids don't need to be exposed to these over-sexualized cartoons. Now I'm listening. Now I go, okay, I kind of see your point. Maybe I agree, maybe I don't agree, but I see what you're saying. And I go, all right, you know what? Maybe kids don't need to be exposed to that type of kiss. Maybe they can just hold hands.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Or maybe we don't have to have in every single movie the sexy... a princess.
No, we do. No, we do. We most certainly do.
Yeah, okay. You know, with the seashell bra.
Nobody wants to see the ugly stepsister save the day, stupid. What's wrong with you?
I know.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff now is basically why they're doing this. And basically, it's like seeing a niche and filling it. Basically, the way things, especially with Disney, where there was pushback from the Disney employees, from LGBTQ employees and stuff like that, about the Don't Say Gay law, which is not called Don't Say Gay. The premise about it is, like you say in the story, that they shouldn't expose kids to sexual orientation at such a young age. Also, basically, all the commercials that you see and all these companies that are going out of their way to be woke. And it doesn't have a sense in reality.
But I don't know what he didn't give an example of woke. He just said gay. He didn't give an example of woke at all. And if you're Disney, most of the people that work for you are gay. If you've ever been to a Disney store or a theme park, most of those people are gay. So I don't look at it as like Disney's getting political. Disney has an angry workforce. Somebody has to sell you Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
But go work somewhere else. You don't like it, go work somewhere else, you know?
But no. If you're the boss and there's a revolt among your employees, you go, okay, we won't do that. It costs them nothing. It costs them, they'll be fine without Ben Shapiro. Trust me, regardless of political affiliation, if your kid wants to go to Disney World, if that's their thing, you're going to save up your shekels and go to Disney World. You're not going to explain to little Susie or little Johnny, go, no, we don't like their politics, but Mickey Mouse and Pluto, you're going to go.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Here's the thing, and I'm saying this not from a political angle or a policy angle. You see a niche and you fill it.
That's fine.
That a lot of people are getting, and I'm saying it as a business plan angle. If you feel there's enough people out there that are fed up with what they feel is a woke environment, and you want their kids to see more of a less woke environment or more centralized environment, you have an opportunity to do this and see if you get it. This could fall flat in its
face. Oh, I think it will. How's that Bible theme park that they got going?
Even I personally think that there's too much of wokeism in things. However, I feel this will probably fall flat in its face because it's going to be another thing that's going to be forced, just as, you know, not forced, but just so agenda-driven.
Joe, let me ask you a question. Do you have any, like, small nieces and nephews, small kids?
I have my nieces and nephews. Yeah.
All right. Let me know what happens when you tell your nieces and nephews that we are no longer watching Marvel movies and Star Wars because we don't like their politics. Let me know how that goes. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
Now I'm gonna even add to what you said and tell them what you just told me and tell them I have a new channel you're gonna specifically watch, with shows you're going to enjoy, which they're probably going to look at and go, this is absolute shite. You know, so you know, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to add to you and say, oh, yeah, you know what? Look, you're going to watch this. I think it's going to fall flat in its face. It's a good option. Yeah, know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. It's a good, you know, business plan. See if niche and fill it. But I think that once you get parents in dictating what they're going to tell children they're going to watch and they're going to enjoy, you know, I don't think it's going to work.
Now, listen, if you're into dance and choreography and music and costuming, which is a whole big part of the Disney experience and the movies and all that stuff, a lot of those people happen to be gay. But again, I listen, Ben Shapiro would have made a better argument if he wasn't using the gay thing. If he would have said, listen, I think things have gotten too woke. I want to make entertainment for conservative families and done that and left the gay thing out of it. I'd be more like what Joe's saying. You're filling a niche. Go, okay, but you're raging against gay. Well, if you're raging against gay, that means you're not going to get gay people to create your content, and not for nothing. Your stuff's going to be
but
shit.
But he's not looking for gay people. He's looking for more centrist people.
Well, it's going to be boring.
And he used gay as a trigger word to lure them in.
All right. Well, fine.
I'm not arguing it.
Joe,
I'm just presenting a business plan.
I look forward to watching right wing version of Dancing with the Stars as they all line dance.
Welcome to Pinafore time. I mean, we're going to feature clog dancing today.
I mean, just really, what are we doing? All right. So listen, we all think this is a little silly. He can do whatever he wants to do. It's his money. None of us think this is going to end well.
It's his toy. Let him play with it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, how many bass fishing and deer hunting shows can a network have? Even ESPN only shows that shit on Sunday morning. On the Ocho. All right. So, but you know, listen. We are always trying to expand the brand and get more work for us. So we all came up with a couple of pitches for this possible network. Joe and I tried to get Chip to write with us, but he would not. So that's an inside joke. Pip, give me a couple of your pitches for this new DW Kids.
Well, actually, you know, I went with a different angle, and I thought...
Of course you did. Why would you follow instructions?
Because I don't like to.
Coloring outside the line helix.
I thought that there would be, like, two samples of a story time reading books to the kids. So
we don't want no book learning, woman.
No. So I have one pitch that would be for... this new network.
Okay.
And one pitch if it was out in the wild with the gays.
As the gays are wont to do.
Because they're out in the wild.
They're a wild bunch of the gays.
So this is the story time book that for, you know, young children that would be on the network. Little Billy likes sports. Sports are fun. Run, Billy, run. Scooters are fun to ride. Little Billy gets tired. Drink some cool water, Billy. Good boy, Billy. So now I'd like to read a children's story with the other network, not the conservative one.
Disney Channel?
No, just a, you know, it doesn't have to be Disney Channel. It'd just be one where, you know, gay's okay.
We call it We Woke. It's for the we that are woke. We Woke.
Little Dickie loves sports.
Oh, I remember this.
Little Dickie loves balls. Balls, balls, balls. All kinds of balls. Dickie loves bats, too. Long bats, short bats, swing bats, swing. Little Dickie loves bats and balls. Dickie gets hot playing. Glug, glug, glug. Swallow, little Dickie, swallow. Good little Dickie. Now, that's what that's, I think, the anti-programming for that.
Joe, what do you got?
Welcome to Mr. Carlson's neighborhood. Join Tucker Carlson as he arrives to his very conservative home. He puts on his slippers and sweater and teaches the kids about the right things, but not sex. Nobody ever falls asleep at Mr. Tucker's house because they'll never be woke. And there are life lessons. When the one time that Mr. Tucker grabs Antifa and the Proud Boys and shows them they could all take over the same block together. Join all the fun guests who drop in, like Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and Ann Coulter, who makes cookies and lemonade. Also dropping is the town mayor, Mayor Rudy Giuliani. So join the fun and bring a gun to Mr. Carlson's neighborhood.
I like that.
Then we have my next show, The Magic Garden with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh boy!
Oh God!
That garden's fertilized with batshit.
A 30-minute weekday children's show that concerns one woman, a bird brain named Marjorie, who sits in the magic garden singing, telling racist jokes, acting out stories which she has made up and spread, and talking with puppets who is that follows her every which way and buys her bullshit. It's all fun and games until Nancy Pelosi, the Wicked Witch of the West, shows up with the gazpacho police.
I like that.
Very good. So my first one is The Walk It Off Gang.
Huh.
Finally, an animated show from the Tough Kids perspective. Join the Walk It Off Gang as they call people with glasses four eyes, tell Sanjay to go back to where he came from, call Jimmy, who is good at gymnastics, a fag, steal Roberta's wheelchair and take it for a joyride down Dead Lips Pike, and fat shame portly girls. And when little cucks can't take what they deserve, the Walk It Off Gang pounds them into submission. And don't worry, the Walk It Off Gang is all straight white boys. No tokens in this group. The Walk It Off Gang is the kid show your child needs to watch so he doesn't become a whiny little bitch.
Oh, God.
And then Joe and I actually had similar inspiration.
Oh.
Tickle Me Tucker.
That's great.
In a major coup, the Daily Wire steals away right-wing truth teller Tucker Carlson to anchor the new children's programming. Since it's geared towards children, Tucker will be in puppet form. The pup will be red out of respect for his love of Russia and Putin. Tucker will continue to deliver his special brand of truth, so nothing will change, though it may be a little tougher since children are a bit more discerning than the avid Fox News fan. Every time Tickle Me Tucker gets that bewildered look in his eyes that he is famous for, a small child will sit on his lap and tickle him as he reboots. The one difference with Tickle Me Tucker puppet is he will not be upright. He'll be lying down and immobile, as nothing is gayer than having some hand shoved up your ass.
Holy shit! Oh my God.
What? What?
Having a little boy talking about balls was bad. Oh, my God.
Well, we want to win this children's war. The hearts and minds of young kids.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Stop trying to win over young children's hearts, you pervert.
It's, yeah.
Oh, God. All right.
So, good luck, Ben Shapiro, with DW Kids. I mean, really.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Oh, my God. You know, I think that the whole trying to legislate and wish the gay away is so ridiculous. Let's not talk about it and it'll go away. Stupid.
Well, I think, you know what? The whole thing with the wish the gay away, basically, the whole movement is overstepping its bounds, okay? Basically, they're pushing too far. Basically, the acceptance is there and, you know, you live your own life. But when you accept, you know, you want to live, but when you accept the whole country to sit there and now we have to be celebrated. Nobody has to be celebrated. Just live your life and mind your own business. And this is where it's getting out of hand.
When you wish upon a queer, makes no difference if you're gay or straight like a steer.
You will take it in the rear.
I think that it's probably a difference that, it's part of, you know, the whole celebration thing is part of being gay, I think. And it's part of, you know, being out there and having fun and celebrating after years of living in darkness and in shadows. And so there's always, like we said, there's always a pendulum, you know, there's people, you know, their bars or homes getting raided for, you know, being who they are and loving who they are. And then, you know, there's a lot of out there and parades and stuff. And it's like, and the pendulum will swing back once we don't have legislature saying, don't talk about the gays will go away. Once we just, it's normal,
well,
like your neighbor next door
gay,
happens to be gay.
It's interesting not to push a sexual orientation at an early age. It has nothing to be about any sexual orientation. And what it is a lot of these teachers that want to push this are pushing their own agenda. You were hired to teach science, you were hired to teach this, but you're pushing your own agenda and they're pushing it forward. Nobody pushes back because if you say anything at a school board meeting, you're a racist, you're homophobic. they're starting to overstep their bounds, and I think there's going to start to be pushback on this.
Now, just wake me up when it's Snow White and the Seven Gangbanging Dwarves. Until then, I'm not, you know, relax.
I think that movie was made already.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it was.
Hey!
I was thinking that too.
Really?
Yeah, all right. All right. Check your local listings on Cinemax. All right.
Funny. Cinemax. Brilliant.
All right. We'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. On the break, we got new music from Sun and Dark with On My Mind. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And new music from Prana Songbird with Confetti in the Windstorm. And you can learn more about Prana Songbird at deucemusic.com. Short break. We'll be right back.